Welcome to Happy Wife, Happy Life.
We're your hosts. I'm Kendall Landreth.
And I'm Jordan Myrick.
And we are two incredibly unqualified,
but deeply in love comedians who are here to help you with all things relationship.
And what are we talking about today, Jordan?
Today, we are talking about first impressions with famous impressionist Mary Kelly. Mary, stop laughing.
I'm so sorry.
No,
did I ruin it?
No. But okay. You are famous for doing impressions.
I guess so. It's just very fun. I don't know if anyone's ever introduced me as famous for doing this, but
right?
Here we are.
Aren't you sure?
I mean, I would say, yeah, I've garnered a following for doing impressions.
Mary does. The big thing you got famous for was mouth acting.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is a video where you do all the different celebrities and how they act with their mouth, how so much acting comes from the mouth.
Yeah, that's the big one. Well, I was watching Pirates of the Caribbean over COVID. I was doing the thing where I was just franchising, like watching all the franchises over and over. And during Pirates of the Caribbean, I was just transfixed mostly by Johnny Depp's he was doing weird stuff with his mouth in that movie. And then I was like, of course, Keira Knightley's doing weird stuff in that movie with her mouth, as she often does. And I was like, oh, I think this is a thing.
Yeah.
So I made it into a video, and
I think the mouth, I've said this before, but I was like, I find you can do like all what?
The mouth.
As I've always said.
The eyes of the face.
I always say about the mouth.
Yeah, what is Kendall about to say about the mouth?
What's your thing about mouth?
Because you are very impressive to me because you do so many impressions, which is amazing.
Sure.
But I found that other people less skilled than you. No one in particular, but I've seen that people will do there's groups of celebrities that if you can do this celebrity, you can do that celebrity.
Oh,
I feel like Drew Barrymore is one.
Yeah.
Or if you can do Drew Barrymore, you can also do Jennifer Coolidge, and you can also do, there's a couple people where it's your mouth is just shaped a certain way.
Yeah. With certain, I have a couple of videos too that are almost sort of morphing from one to another because a lot of times, and I've since learned, after putting, I have no education whatsoever in, what's the word?
Dialect?
Mouth.
Pathology, speech pathology.
Yeah, speech pathology, exactly. I don't have, one of my dear friends is a speech and language pathologist. And when I started doing all this mouth acting stuff, she was like, you're talking about oral posture. That's a thing. That's a technical term. And certain actors have similar oral postures. And so, literally the way their teeth are formed. And there are certain actors, I find this so fascinating. I could talk ad nauseum about it, but certain actors that, have all were thumb suckers, and therefore their palate developed a certain way, and their tooth shaped developed, their bite developed a certain way. So they all speak in very similar ways, and their oral posture is the same.
That's
very interesting to me, to really see similarities between celebrities, just from the way they talk.
I think people don't realize how much stuff is like that. I remember in acting school when I learned that having a lisp is just tongue placement.
Yeah, exactly.
And you can just unlearn having a lisp.
Yeah. Well, and there are so many kinds of lisps. There are so many, everyone's always Drew Barrymore has a lisp. And it's she does, I don't know. I've learned so much about people's oral postures and the way they talk and orthodonture.
Because some people, are you naturally just, can you just hear a voice and be I can do it? Or do you really deep dive into that person, the way they move their mouth and learn? Or are you just kind of naturally good at repeating a parrot what people do?
I've always, for whatever reason, and I think this is something that some people do have inherently, is I do have an ear, as they would say. Yeah. I am a singer. I've always, been able to, if someone does or says something, I really can usually repeat it back the same as I hear it. And that's often how I'll do, if I'm recording a video of myself, I'll watch something that someone, an interview, and then I'll be immediately to my phone, be the same, just repeat that to the camera. But in terms of I hadn't really ever developed the facial aspect of it until start doing stuff online. Because I went to school for theater. No, my acting teachers were never let's work on your impressions. That's not a part of any training that you do as an actor.
Yeah.
And so I never thought, oh, this is something that I can hone or work on, or that's any kind of marketable skill. But yeah, I think for whatever reason, it just felt weird to only be doing the voices. I was like, I really, it's like playing any character, like an actor playing a character. I really wanted to like become the actor or whoever, celebrity that I'm doing an impression of. So I was like, oh, why not go for the full thing?
Yeah.
And then that ended up being, I ended up like being able to kind of work towards that too and do that too. So
incredible.
The whole package.
The whole
altogether.
Package.
It's really, the whole celeb.
It's really unbelievable. If you haven't watched it, you absolutely have to go to Mary's Instagram, TikTok, follow, watch. It's so incredible. I remember the first time I saw you do it, it was weird for me because it came up on my For You page, and I've known you since I was 20 years old.
Yeah, yeah.
You and I used to do comedy together in New York. So I've known you forever. I've always known you were very funny, a very talented actor. I feel like when I first met you, you were like in the running to be Elphaba in a Broadway national tour.
Oh my god. I booked Nessa Rose.
That's
the
what it was.
National
tour. Yes.
Oh.
But I was getting married.
God.
I literally was getting married.
She's married.
I'm married. I was getting married and it was gonna be like literally all during my whole wedding was paid for, everything was paid for. And I was like, I don't think I can do this.
Oh, it was on your wedding.
It literally, well, I'd be touring around the country. Yeah. And my wedding, I think, was like 2 months later or something. I was like,
I
don't know.
It's on your wedding as if it was, you said it was one night only.
They were doing a guest only. Nessa. They needed me for one night for Nessa. And I had to say, sorry, can't do it.
Yeah.
But no, they were like, you could take your honeymoon in Appleton, Wisconsin. And I was like, we've already paid for our honeymoon.
Yeah.
It just was like, this isn't, And I don't regret that.
Yeah. Good. I think that's great.
Different life path. But.
Yeah, but I've always known you're very talented. There was no doubt in my mind about that. But then when you came up my For You page and you were doing the mouth acting, I was like, this is unbelievable.
Well, that's how I felt when I saw videos of you, which I was like, you know, obviously you're wonderful.
Videos of me doing what?
Well, when you started coming up on my FYP.
What, and just talking about a restaurant? You said, this is
you're
unbelievable.
Like, this is what I would order from Raising Cane's. Yeah. And I was like, join
it. Like, I've never seen anything like it.
No, but like, I started having friends sending me your videos and stuff.
Oh,
and
my God.
I just was like, that's so crazy. It's my friend Jordan. But yeah, it's surreal. It like, to have people be going like, oh my God, what? You're showing up on my page?
Yes.
Like, and both of you, I'm sure, have experienced this. It's like, and when you put a video out there, like, especially those early videos, you're like, no one's going to see this.
Yeah.
Like, we're stuck inside during COVID and like nothing exists or matters.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden, and that part's surreal too. Like, once you start seeing the numbers rack up and you're like, who the fuck is watching this?
Yeah. Like, these people.
Because I don't really care. I don't really watch impressions.
Yeah.
Like, I really, like, I've never been, like, a big, like, upset. Like, some people will, people that I don't know will send me videos and being like, but thought you might like this. Like, look how great this person is at impressions. And I'm like, that's so great. And I think people.
But you're I'm kind of focused on me.
I'm just
so nothing
like,
can impress me. I've done it all.
Right, I can do everybody. No, just like old videos of, you know, Jim Carrey is incredible at impressions. And I'm like, that's so cool. But I don't seek it out necessarily.
Yeah.
Because I do think that every impressionist, like they everyone has their own little flavor.
Absolutely.
So,
what's your flavor?
I mean,
what's your flavor?
Tell me
what's your flavor.
What is that? What was that? Fanta? What was that from?
I think that was Fanta. Tell me what's your flavor. Is that a real song?
Yes, absolutely. You sang it with me so immediately.
Well,
there's
but
way.
Like, is it a commercial song or is it a song?
No, it has to
be
commercial. Because it's like, because Fanta was wanna Fanta, don't you wanna Fanta? Okay, what we're thinking about is something, and people in the comments will.
Yeah, okay,
us.
They'll let us know.
So, what is your flavor?
My flavor, goodness. I mean, I think the different flavors are like. Like the Jim Carreys of the world, it's almost like a lampoon. Like it's big and it's kooky and it's like taking one kind of idiosyncrasy of an actor and like blowing it up big, and which is so funny and so cool. And I feel like he's so fearless with that. I think for me, it's almost more of a like a subtlety to it. Like I think I don't necessarily just take one idiosyncrasy and blow it up. Like I try to kind of really, like I said, like
I mean, you
play
sound
the part
exactly like these people.
It's
like I think there's people like I feel like Kate McKinnon is maybe a good example where like when she was on SNL, she would do like Hillary Clinton, but it's not like I was like, wait, is that Hillary Clinton?
Yeah, she's doing a funny
like
rendition.
She would take one bit of Hillary Clinton and like heighten her to the max, and it's like this could be any president. Like this could be a million different characters. This is like Leslie Knope. This is like all of these different people.
Right.
And then there's some like I feel like Vanessa Bayer was more like if she did an impression, it was like a really, that sounds like, if I close my eyes, that sounds like that person.
Yeah. I just think there are different ways to approach it, and like different, because everyone has a different sense of humor too. Yeah. Like I've also never been like a bit like a, I'm not as much of like a big
You've always
comedian.
Been subtle.
Yeah.
When like we used to do improv together, I feel like your choices yeah. would be not so cartoonish. They would be more right. true to life.
Yeah, yeah. And so that ends up kind of being what I, how I approach impressions too. Yeah, and yeah. like just, because some of them, like sometimes when I do impressions live, like there, people aren't like it's not like laugh out loud. Like,
yeah.
So, you know, a lot of times people are going like, what the fuck? Like yeah. being like, yeah. how is it? Like, I think people sometimes are like, processing it more so that like I'm not setting up punchlines necessarily.
Yeah.
Sometimes some videos I'll write like what I think the celebrity would say yeah. and then it's, you know, a funnier scenario. But when it's a real video where I'm like, oh, I'm straight up just trying to be this person.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily like outright funny.
Do you think people's things that you pick up from them change as they get plastic surgery, as they get older?
Oh my gosh. You know, I actually haven't even thought about that.
Really?
Well, you know, there are certain, I think because certain actors, like a certain era of theirs lasts in my mind, and that's who I'm doing an impression of.
I
like,
see.
I don't as often watch, like sometimes I'll watch, like for, you know, reference points, I'll watch like current interviews and stuff.
Yeah.
But a lot of times it's like, you know, the Drew Barrymore that I think of is like the collective conscious
yeah.
Drew Barrymore, yeah. like not necessarily like her on her show right now. Or I mean, it's some amalgamation of it. But I'm trying to even think of like who really has like outright had like straight up plastic surgery.
I think Jennifer Coolidge has gotten more
oh sure.
kind of pinched sure. in the mouth as she's gotten older, huh. maybe.
Yeah. Though I yeah. So for her too, it's like, I guess what I'm realizing as I'm saying, as we're speaking, is that like, I think a lot of my impressions are like composites of like their whole yeah. life. Of
sure.
Like when I do an impression of Jennifer Coolidge, it is really, it's her now, but it's also her in like a Cinderella story.
Yeah. yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Absolutely.
So, but yeah, I have done videos before where it's like, I do impressions from different movies throughout like an actor's career. And it is... It is. That is interesting. I should pay more attention to that.
Okay. We got to get into the dating.
Sure. Oh, yeah. That's the theme.
You're married.
I'm married.
Congrats. Oh, you've been married for a long time now, right?
I've been married. It's going to be 7 years in October.
Wow.
Sick and twisted. It's a long time. We've been together since 2010.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which is crazy.
How'd you meet?
We met at college. We went to Northwestern together. And we were friends. He was 2 years old. His name is Chase. Shout out to Chase. Angel. Sweet angel. He is 2 years older than I am. And I thought he was cool. He's the big man on campus. He was the head of student theater at Northwestern,
oh,
which coveted
wow.
role. And we were just friends for a long time. And then I saw him in The Who's Tommy, you know, the musical
yeah.
Tommy. And he just caught my eye.
Was he Tommy?
I saw him in a different way. No, he was the lover who, spoiler alert, kills. No. Yes, he's killed. He was murdered in it. And yeah, he's like Tommy's mom's lover.
Okay.
Mm. Yes.
And you said, I want him to be mine.
And
lover.
I was like, that's hot to me. And I saw it with my mom, actually. My mom was visiting. And then after that, I was like, I'm going to get his phone number. I don't have his phone number, so I Facebook messaged him.
Sure.
That tells you what year it was. I Facebook messaged him, and I was like, my mom thought you were great in the show. And I realized I wanted to tell you that, but I don't have your phone number. So if you could let me know what that is. And he was like, ha ha, it's this. And I was like, okay. And then we were in a play together. We were in A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Classic.
Did you on the main stage. No, I was an unnamed fairy.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And he was it. So this was A Midsummer Night's Dream set in the 1960s at an all boys Catholic boarding school.
Oh. Sure.
So yeah, as Shakespeare intended.
That's always literally. I went to NYU, which I feel yeah. like is similar vibes to Northwestern, yeah, yeah, and it's always yeah. like everyone's always like, "We're doing Shakespeare, but on roller skates."
Right.
And you're like, "Let's please.
Just stick to yeah. the you know original."
Are you a Shakespeare fan?
I do like Shakespeare. Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty like theater nerdy.
Okay.
And I loved being a part. I mean, it was a great production. It was really fun. Yeah. I was also a freshman. And so, like, and he was a junior and there were a lot of older people in it. So I was like, yeah. I feel like I'm in a special group.
I'm sure you were so in it. You were like, this is the best production of
I was so in anything. It. Yeah. I literally was like, this is the coolest thing I've ever done. Yeah. This is the high art. Like, yeah. This is the best thing that I may ever do in my life. And I remember I would be like off stage. He played a reverend, but like in the original, you know, in the play, he was like the head of the mechanicals, you know, we're getting into it here, but yeah. And he was a priest, I guess. And something about it, I don't know. I should probably look into that. But yeah, I like remember watching him from off, like in the, you know,
wings.
Yeah. Just being like, he's so cute. Ugh. And then I asked him to a formal, one of my sorority formals, and he was, you know, deigned to say yes. And then he slept through the bus. He like took a nap and missed the bus ride to the formal location. And all my older girlfriends, sorority sisters, were so pissed at him. They were all friends with him, and they had encouraged me to ask him. And they're all calling him, being like, "You're such an asshole! How dare you like leave our friend just in the lurch?" Like, blah blah. There's this other kid that I literally texted, being like, "My date didn't show up. Can you come?" And he came. He was running outside of the bus to come get on the bus, and he missed it. And I was like, "Sorry." So. That it was a whole big mess. I was sobbing. I was wasted. I like, you know, my friends were like giving me like the bottles of alcohol. Yeah. And then he showed up at the party. He got in a taxi and he went all the way to downtown Chicago. He showed up and was like, "I'm so sorry. My alarm didn't go off, whatever. And I forgave him. And we have been inseparable for nearly 14 years.
So what was your first impression? I guess not good.
Well, all my girlfriends would call him like Mr. Sleepy Boy, you know, whatever. Mr. Sleepy Boy. And it did not help matters that like a couple months into dating, my mom came to town to visit and I invited him to dinner to like meet her, and he slept through that as well.
Oh my gosh. What?
Yeah. He was very busy. He was very stressed.
Oh my gosh.
Is he still a sleeper?
Not as much. All no,
right. He's traumatized. He's like, I don't sleep anymore.
He literally like has 800 alarms set for himself. But he, my first impression, I thought he was like kind of like mean at first, which I was like hot. But he was a little, you know, sort of like a Mr. Darcy sort of vibe where I was like, I want to win you over. And I did.
Wow.
But yeah, and he's just such a good actor. He's not acting anymore, but. I just was like, it was a talent crush, mixed with all different kinds of things. But
so wait, was your mom mad?
She was. Well, she just was like, what is happening? I mean, she was happy to have time with me.
Yeah.
But she was sad that I was sad.
Yeah.
I mean, it was looking back on it, I'm like, he's lucky that I didn't fully break up with him.
I am like, you should have broken up with him. But and obviously like, that's wrong of me.
No, it's extremely rude.
Yeah, like, because you guys have a very happy and healthy marriage.
Yeah.
So I'm
and that never,
wrong. But
that never ever happened again ever.
Like just the two big
he
ones.
Never missed. And just the two times it really, really mattered.
Like, oh wait, and our wedding
and
actually.
Our wedding, and actually, oh my God, our wedding he ended up not showing up, unfortunately.
He actually was playing Nessa on that day. He got confused.
Yeah. He booked it since I didn't get
it. Yeah,
he got
it. He said, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Wow.
But yeah, so somehow we made it through the sleepy times. Yeah. And now I would say I'm more of a big sleeper than he is at this point.
I feel like my first impression of you was a little bit grumpy, Jordan. Where like when I first met you, like on our first date, someone asked me, my friend Fallon had asked me, like, what was your first impression of Jordan on the first date? And I was like, I think the first 5 minutes, I was like, I'm really happy. They are not going to ask me on a second date. And then we had like a 6-hour date. And of course, then I was like, oh my God, we're obsessed.
Why?
But you were just, you're very, I think it was just the way you were talking. You were like, we got on the call and I'm just very like, oh, hi. You know, and Jordan was like, and what do you do for work? And I told you, and then you were like, and where did you grow up? Like, and I just was like, oh, they're not into me. But then like 10 minutes in, I was like, oh, maybe they're into me. But I liked it. Like, even if you hadn't liked me at the end of it, I would have been like, I am more into them now because they're so stern.
Well, I appreciate it. Well, did you want to respond to that?
No. Yeah, you're looking fired up. So I'm upset because I thought I was being cool and sexy, but I guess it just came off as stern.
No, it was sexy.
That is
and
sexy.
Cool.
I would say.
Wait, what was your first impression of me?
Oh, of you?
Yeah.
God, I truly don't remember.
And it was so long ago.
We met in a comedic sort of way. And so I was like, they're very funny. Like, Jordan's very funny. But I did, but there is like a wittiness to you that is like, you know, and there's like an intelligence. Mm-hmm. That is.
That's how you
that's
say.
That's
forefront.
What I should have said.
That's what I should have said. No, I feel like you're much more bubbly than me. Yeah. I wouldn't categorize myself as bubbly.
You're sure. just more mysterious. A thing I would give anything to be.
I would love to be. Oh my God, I would love to be mysterious. Well, I think you're. Well, and this is the way that Chase is too. And this is, I think, what was refreshing about him that I felt was that I had always dated people that were so that like matched my energy of like overly friendly and kind of people pleasery, whatever. And he was. So just like said what he meant and like was very honest. And I think that really makes you go, oh, I can trust you because I know you're not going to, you know, like I had previous boyfriends that I was like, oh, that's the energy I like because maybe it reminded me of like my siblings or something. You know, like it was very
comfortable.
When people are comforting and warm, whatever, you're like, oh, they're great. But like previous boyfriends were not. Like that meant that they were not forthcoming and there was a lot of sort of like trying to figure out exactly what they meant because they were just super nice. Not that Jace isn't nice, but it's a subtle, it's like a, he really like reserved his sort of like true self for people that he really like cared about.
Yeah.
And that I find very refreshing. Yes. And it's different in our society. Jordan, you're a diamond in the rough.
Oh, but that's true. I feel like that's how you are because it's like I never have to be like, are you being for real?
Yeah, right,
it's
exactly.
It's like you would tell me. And there have been times where you've said something where I'm like, man, okay, very honest. But then it's like very comforting later if I'm like, is this outfit good or is this video funny or am I like being weird? Yeah. I know that I'm going to get an honest answer from you.
Yeah.
And in moments where you were being really sweet on the other end of things, it's like,
it feels
you've earned it.
Yeah, like you're like, oh, this is real sweetness. This is real. It's not just placating me or something. And I'm a very anxious person. Like, or I'm trying to use, in therapy, I'm trying to use parts language. I have very anxious parts to me.
Oh! I love that.
Yeah, I've never even thought about that. Part of me that is, you know, can get anxious. And so to have a partner like Chase is so great because he is very grounding. Like there's, he really is like, this is what's real. This is what's true. You know, this is... He has sort of a great perspective on things because he's not fluffing things up. Yeah. He's very much like, he goes right for it. So
totally.
I think it's like, that's a great partnership to have someone who is a little more like bubbly, whatever. And then someone who I think it's a great compliment.
Yeah. I think I do also agree with what you said. I do think you, especially in the past, have been very like people pleasery.
Yeah.
And I am not like that.
Yeah. So it's definitely pushed me to be like, because even now there's times
boundaries
where, like,
and stuff.
Yeah. Because even now, like, I'll go to text someone back and I'll tell Jordan what I'm going to say. And they're like, no, you should say this. And I'm like, oh, sure. Yeah. I'll go do that in a different room.
Sure.
But I just think it's so easy to be like, I'm a people pleaser and you position yourself as a people pleaser and the things you're doing as things that are for other people. But whenever I deal with someone who's like a really hardcore people pleaser, it makes me uncomfortable because I'm like, you are not pleasing me.
Well, I think it's, that's what we talked about before. It's like,
you're trying to please yourself.
I've struggled so much with it. And I'm like, oh yeah, it's because I want to ease my anxiety. It's not really about pleasing you. Because half the time it's not even something that could please or displease you. It's just like me being anxious and stressed out.
Yeah.
But also like, there is something I've had to work on as I'm like, especially as a friend, I will let things like build up and build up and build up because I don't realize that it's even being built up because I just will be like, sure, that's fine. And it's like, that's not pleasing anyone either. And then that's so unfair to the person that I'm mad at, even though they've never known. I'm always just like, oh my God, that's incredible.
Right. You're like secretly in your room being like, they're taking advantage of me. It's like, well, I let them. Yes. I mean, I honestly, like something that really has changed my life, like, thank God for therapy, but like realizing that boundaries are like, better than just saying yes to everything all the time.
Yeah.
Like, the real people, the real thing that makes everybody happy and have healthy relationships is setting boundaries.
100%.
And, like, being honest with people. And, like, I think being kind whilst setting a boundary. But, yeah, I think for a long time I just was, like, saying, oh, I'm a people pleaser. But I also was just, like, letting people walk all over me.
Yeah.
And that's not helping anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
And kindness and honesty should work in tandem. They are not mutually exclusive. But I think sometimes for some reason people will be like, you can be kind or you can be honest.
Right.
And I'm so firmly against that belief.
Yeah.
I'm like, be kind and be honest. And also, like, use common sense.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah.
You know?
Well, and I think that's why it's so great to have, you know, at least for me, like a partner that is like, that reminds me of that. Like, mm-hmm. you don't have to be like the nice thing, you know? Yeah. It's like sometimes being honest is the nice thing.
Yeah.
It's like, but, you know, those of us who have it deeply ingrained in us for whatever reason that like being nice is just saying yes all the time. It's like, it's just not true. Yeah. It's a fallacy.
Not true.
It's not true.
Oh, that's such a sweet story though.
Yeah.
That's so nice. What was your first impression of me, Jordan?
Oh.
So my first impression of you was that you were hot. Wow. Just because I saw your Instagram.
Oh my God. How fabulous.
And I have to assume your true first impression of me was the same.
Oh,
because
I was thinking about first impression on the date. Like, first impression on
in
our
general.
First date. Yeah, in general, yes, I was, like, hot. I mean, because it was on Instagram, so I only could, you know, look at,
Yeah, and what'd you think?
I thought hot. I thought Kendall, that was good stuff.
I thought hot and sexy.
I thought Kendall was hot, and I said, oh, she doesn't post that much.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
And that made me be like, is that good or bad? I don't know. But it just made me be like,
we'll find
made
out.
Made you think.
Yeah.
It was a thinker.
It was thought provoking.
Yeah.
And then Kendall started DMing me and I said, okay, thirsty.
Yeah, geez.
That's my second impression.
I know.
But I like that.
Okay, good.
Hard to
get
that
works out.
Is not for me.
I know. That had not worked for me in the past.
Yeah.
Actually, that energy of doing, of desperation, people didn't find attractive.
You know what? That whenever people are like asking me dating advice, whatever, especially friends of mine who are like just starting to date new people and they're like, should I respond? Should I wait a little while to respond? I'm like, no. Playing hard to get, I swear to God, is not real.
Yeah.
Like, what is the point of that? Just like,
especially
at this point in our lives, it's like, go for it. Yeah. We're all, sorry to break it to everybody, but we're all going to die eventually.
100%.
So go for it. And if the person that you're talking to doesn't like that you like them, then that's not the person for you.
Especially as you get older. I'm like, maybe when you're in high school and stuff, I still think it's silly, but okay, whatever. Like, but I'm like, when you're an adult, if someone is being like, you're texting me too much, too quickly, whatever.
Yeah.
To me, that's just like being like, okay, well, then I feel like maybe we're probably not compatible or looking for the same thing.
That's the thing is that some people will do, I feel like they'll do hard to get in the beginning of a relationship. And I'm like, that's so hard because you're going to set this precedent of like, this is how I communicate. These are my expectations, which is like, I'm going to text you every other week and I'm going to take 8 hours to respond. And then when you actually, that can only be kept in for so long.
Yeah.
And then when you actually start dating and you're like, I want to spend all my time with you, they're going to be like, absolutely not.
Right. It's
like,
just not what
that's not what I signed up for.
Right, exactly.
100%.
It's like, just be yourself. Like, don't, I know, but I think people get afraid. They don't want it. They're like, I always have this analogy of like, you know, in a relationship, it's like a little baby bird. It's like, you can't squeeze it too tightly because you'll kill it.
Yeah.
But you can't let have your hands be too loose for it to fly away. And like, I think people get really scared one way or the other. Like, oh no, I'm holding on too tight, or like, oh, I'm not doing enough. But it's like, if you just are yourself, like that's you're setting the precedent.
Yeah.
And like, if they don't like you for who you are, then
you
shouldn't be with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then my first impression of you on our date was you seemed very nervous, and I thought that was sweet.
I was very nervous.
That's
Kendall, I've said this before on this podcast, so if you listen, you know, but Kendall made herself a bowl of pasta and then didn't eat it the whole day, just held it in front of her.
And it was
because
she had
been like, do we want to eat? And I was like, sure. So like, I ate while she just like held this bowl of pasta. And finally I was like, do you want to eat your pasta? And she was like, it's cold, but thank you.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I think she's nervous. I was very nervous.
When I get nervous, I can't eat either. Yeah.
It's also a really weird time to be dating because before we went on a date, I watched like, not to be creepy, but so many YouTube videos of you.
Yeah.
Because I like
fan.
I watched
fan
a
behavior.
Panel you've been on.
Embarrassing, actually.
It was really, I was like, watched a panel you've been on. So I already, and I watched a cooking show you did. So I already knew all this like information.
I know.
And then I was like, don't say that weird information, you know.
But that's wild to me. I wish, I mean, obviously everything's fine now. It worked out. But I wish you had just been like, oh, I watched these videos
research.
Of you on YouTube. I would have been like,
cool. Well, that's what's, that was something that I don't, I mean, I do feel lucky that, you know, oh God, how many years ago? 14 years ago. Like, I couldn't really stalk Chase that much.
Yeah.
I mean, and we were friends in college, whatever, but I definitely
you're like,
oh,
I physically stalked him.
I physically, yeah, I knew, I knew like, you know, what kind of underwear he wore, stuff like that. Like, I hadn't seen any videos of him. No, but I feel like nowadays, if I were going, I mean, even if I have a meeting with someone, I'm Googling them, I'm seeing what they're doing, what they're up to. I watch all their, you know, so I can't, I would be I would know everything about a person.
I feel like you kind of have to. Yeah. And I don't think that's wrong. I kind of want to know what's going on with somebody before I go on a date with them or a business meeting or whatever. Make sure we're aligned.
What's their digital footprint?
What's their digital footprint?
Well, you can really tell forever. An energy from someone. And it does make it to where I haven't gone on many dates where immediately I'm like, no.
Sure.
Because I already figured out social media. Yeah.
Yeah. Smart.
Okay, yep. We ready to get to the
Let's
question?
Let's do it. Oh, my God. Questions.
Our fans.
You're like, what have we been doing?
Yeah.
Pardon me.
Our fans had some questions about first impressions for you.
Okay.
They sent them in. And as always, if you're watching this, you can respond to our questions on Instagram or on Patreon, or you can directly email specific questions to hwhlpodquestions@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. All right. You like that?
I just love the official business.
It's very,
like, it's very fun because we're like just chatting as friends. And then it's like, and this is a very serious thing. I've got to deliver. And then we're back. I love it. Showbiz.
Yes. I'm a professional.
You really are, Jordan. And that's really great.
Thank you.
Congrats on that.
Okay. How long is too long to make my initial verdict on if we click or not?
Oh, my God. Oh, my. That's such a hard question. How long is too long? You know, I'd say if you're like a month in and you're like, I still am really feeling like this isn't quite what's up.
Yeah.
Then that's not really fair to either of you because, you know, that's a month. Like,
yeah.
That's a chunk of time.
Yeah.
But it's hard because then again, it's like some people are, you know, some people grow on you, whatever. But I think if that like really basic spark isn't there. Yeah. It's on to the next, maybe.
I think that's a really responsible answer. I would say immediately.
Oh, my God, Jordan.
If you have good taste. And I think that's
important. How can you
guarantee that? Well.
You know if you're toxic or not.
Okay, so
you know
if you have bad taste.
Oh, exactly.
Oh, sure. Depending on
past
relationships.
You know if you're toxic or not. So you have to be self-aware.
Okay.
If you are a Judge Judy, and you immediately are being petty, bitchy, whatever, about things that don't matter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm like, you need to go to therapy and sort that out.
Yeah.
If you are a good judge of character, if you're thoughtful, if you've healed your past traumas, and you're meeting up with someone and it's just not there, I think it's probably not going to be there.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of people want to have this kind of like childlike, oh, if he's mean to you, he actually really likes you, blah, blah.
Oh,
so
well,
people will be like, maybe that'll change. Or, you know, like, we just started watching Bridgerton for the first time.
Oh,
and I think
God
people,
bless.
Thank you.
Have you seen?
I've seen.
Yeah, of course.
It's hot.
I feel like people want that
it
kind
is
of
absolutely
thing.
Hot.
You know, people want to, friends to lovers, enemies to lovers. That's such a big romance trope. But for me, it's
that's
so rare in real life.
Yeah.
So if you meet them and on the date you're not clicking, I'm like, just enjoy that date and then don't go on a date with them.
Oh, well,
again.
I mean, I guess the way I interpreted the question was if, like, you had a nice date. You're not like 100% sure. Yeah. You're kind of like still figuring out what the vibe is. I mean, then I think give it like a month.
If you really don't know.
Give it like a couple of days.
Okay, okay. I'd say three then. I'd say three dates. Let me fix my answer.
Okay, three dates.
Yeah, based on what you just said.
Yeah.
I think three dates.
Because I would agree with that.
The first date could be nerves.
Yes.
The second date, you're still getting to know each other.
Sure.
But by the third date, you should be like locked into it.
I agree with that. But I think if someone's icky on the first date, no.
Yeah.
Follow your gut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Listen to your intuition.
We started watching Bridgerton with my mom. And she told me, she was like, well, there's some steamy stuff in it. So as long as you're not comfortable watching that with your mom. And I was like, Mom, I've seen a sex scene before. Like, it's fine. It was amazing. It actually was lovely. I had such a nice time watching with her. But I don't think I realized. I told Jordan, I was like, it wasn't the aggressiveness of the sex in Bridgerton.
Mm-hmm.
It was the length of time it happened. It was just normal missionary most of the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
it wasn't shocking.
Like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And I was like, I thought this would be like a 1 minute scene that we would get through as a family.
Uh-huh.
But we were doing a puzzle. We were doing a Jane Austen puzzle.
Gorgeous.
And it
this
was
sounds
just
like my ideal evening, to be honest.
It was incredible.
Yeah.
Had wine out. It was really nice.
God.
And it was. So then we're trying to cut, you know, because during a sex scene with your parents, you'll like start talking.
Yeah, you're like,
or you'll be like, you'll point out things.
Yeah,
you'll be
like, weird.
The beds wouldn't have looked like that, right?
Yeah.
That's so interesting. Imagine having to undo that whole corset. Right, like, you're trying to talk. And I was like, at a certain point, I was like, I can't. This is too embarrassing to keep talking. So we just have to listen. And I was just looking down at the puzzle, and it was just grunting for 25 minutes.
My go-to uncomfortable thing to say if I'm watching a sex scene with my parents or anybody, or like my in-laws or something, is like, this must have been so awkward for them to film.
Very, you bring it back really to the business of it all.
And back to business. Is that's just because that's how I am.
I love that.
Back to business.
Okay, next question.
It's a great show, though.
Great show.
It's a great show.
I love, I love, what's her name? The jewel of the season. Phoebe.
Nicole.
Dynevor, whatever. Oh. Yeah. What's her name in the show?
Nicole. Penelope.
Daphne.
Oh, the
Daphne Bridgerton.
The diamond, the water diamond.
Oh, yeah,
or whatever.
The season. The queen says,
yeah,
oh, she's the whatever
her,
of the season.
The diamond of the water of the season or something
diamond
like that?
Diamond of the waterfront?
No.
What the?
I think that might be it.
I think it's diamond of the water.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Well, I remember
I only watched
it
season one.
I distinctly remember being like, that doesn't make sense. And then Kendall and her mom were like, no, it's like diamond in the rough. And I'm like, no, I understand that. Like, you find a diamond in the rough and
but
then you polish it.
Right. Diamonds in water.
What is diamonds in water and why does that make it the best diamond? Do they store diamonds in water? I don't think so.
Diamonds in water is just pollution.
Right. I might just have to do a rewatch.
Yeah. Let us know. Let us know in the comments what the diamond in the waterfront of the pollution is. all right. The next question.
Okay.
How does a first impression factor in if you were friends first, then started dating? That's a perfect question for you, Mary.
It is perfect for me. I mean, I really loved being friends with my current partner first because you do have that first impression of them where you're like, maybe you would have written them off if you didn't get to know them as a friend. And I also really, I have to say, it's very nice to be able to see someone, see their relationship with other people and kind of have a little bit of like a front row to like their life before you are like romantic partners. Yeah. I mean, how does it factor in? It plays a big role because, someone you might have gone on a first date with, and if they were a little chilly or whatever, you might, if you're Jordan, you might be like, you know, see you next Tuesday.
Hit the curb, bitch.
Right, hit the curb, exactly. I feel very lucky that I got to, like, get to know him in the safety of a friendship before really diving in. And I always really feel like that also lays such a great foundation for a relationship if you really can be friends with someone for a little bit. Because then once you make the friends to lovers sort of move is a big move. And like it definitely takes a lot of – you have to be really sure. And so I think that's a nice sort of test to be like, we really want to be together in this way. So we're taking the leap.
Was there ever a time though where you were – the whole time you had a crush though, probably.
I totally had a crush, And he like kind of denies that he had a crush, but he absolutely did. I mean, he lived in apartment A1 in this like actual tenement housing, like decrepit, horrible place off campus that had like mice running around. he lived in A1 and I was in an a cappella group, and our apartment that we would like party at was A3. So he and his friends would come up from A1 and like come to our parties, and he would just hang around at these parties and like talk to me. Yeah. I'm like, okay, sorry, but I mean, he remembers what I was wearing the first time he saw me.
So
and
why
we were friends,
is
quote, unquote,
he acting like he didn't have a crush?
Because he is too cool for school, doesn't want to admit. I mean, he will be like, yeah, I thought you were cute, but like, you know, he's too cool for
school. But he won't say he was in love, which is the truth.
It might be the truth. Yeah.
Well, we were talking in the car ride.
That's what I thought.
Yep. On the car ride over, have you watched Abbott Elementary?
I've watched some of it. Yeah.
We were watching Abbott Elementary, and we were like, first of all, huge fans.
Yeah.
But we were like, this thing they've got going on with Janine and Gregory doesn't make any fucking sense. Yeah. Why would these two people not date? Usually in a show, there is like a reason. It's like, well, she had a boyfriend and then she left him for him, but then he had a girlfriend and then now we can't, and now he's moving because of this reason. But in this show, they're just like, it's
just not,
we
didn't
can't.
Happen. I know.
And it's like, what? Like, what is, there's no reason for you guys to not date. And then I think it was the end of season two, he was like, if we start dating, we'll probably get married. So we just should not
date. It's like, it's no like, one's okay, ever get married. And
then get married.
And so I wonder,
what are you afraid of?
But I've never really done a friends to lovers. So I was going to ask if there really is that thing of like, well, but we can't, we just, because we can't, because it's too much.
Yeah. You know, I think part of it is it's a bit of a, at least for us, it was like a slow burn. Mm. And so I think it gets a little confusing because you're like, okay, I know I really care about you as my friend, but I'm also like, okay, but does that mean I want to be with you? And because then once you cross over, you're there. Like, right. You kind of can't go back necessarily. No. But yeah.
Was your bachelorette party theme like, let's get married?
It was marry that girl. M-A-R-Y.
I knew it.
Yeah. And at the time, there was that song. Do you remember that song that's like, marry can I have a daughter for the rest of my life? Say, marry that girl. And that was kind of part of it. And that, again, tells you that my bachelorette party was in 2016.
Sure. When was your wedding?
2017.
Because I feel like there's a trend on TikTok of people being like, I had a wedding in 2015, 2016. Oh, and I literally can't look at photos of it because it's the worst thing ever. Do you have that feeling about your wedding?
Know, luckily, my wedding... it was pretty like a classic experience.
I feel like you're fancy.
I had like a very like very classic like New York wedding. It was very my goal when I was planning my wedding was like, I really want to look back at pictures and not cringe. Like, I really want to look back and go, oh, this could have happened like
anytime
this year.
Yeah.
So I didn't really go for like super trendy stuff. But if I look, when I look at my Pinterest from that time, it is extremely embarrassing. Antlers were involved. Antlers at a New York wedding.
Yeah.
They have no place there.
On the wedding cake or whatever.
Yeah, literally like part of collages. I'm like, just throw an antler in there.
My favorite TikToks where people are like, this is my Pinterest board that I made when I was in high school for my wedding in 2014. And it's like every bridesmaid has like a different pair of Converse.
Mustaches.
And then there was a bunch where it's like the groomsmen like open up their suits and they all are different like Marvel character. Mm-hmm. And I'm like,
very scary to me. That's very, I mean, to have that really, I feel very, very lucky that Chase was also very much on board with like a classic wedding. He wasn't like, I want a groom's cake of like a duck or something. You know,
that's which, timeless.
That's timeless at the end of the day.
But it's cool if you got a bride's cake of a duck, right?
Yeah, for sure.
As your wedding cake.
I just like the groom's cake thing. I just like there are certain wedding things that for whatever reason, like men are like insistent upon these like weird ass things, and it's like just. Put on a tux and put on a tux and a smile, pal. Yeah. Just
get through. Groom's cake is so funny
Groom's
to
cake
me.
Is as so
if
funny.
It's like
I need one
other
too.
Cake is too gay for me. We gotta have a boy's cake.
Some of the weddings I've been to, like my husband's from Tennessee. Some of the weddings that we've been to in the South,
I cannot imagine.
Heavens to Betsy. I mean, you really are just like what? Like right? They need like a man cake.
I mean, yeah, getting married is homo, and
right.
If you like getting married or you like your
cake
wife,
cake is gay.
Cake is gay.
Tier multi-tier. Cake is gay.
White
duck cake is not.
Yeah, white. The color white is gay.
Yeah, exactly.
Any kind of flower is gay.
Yeah,
we've talked about this before, but we're also like, it's so funny when people throw a wedding, but it seems like they're being literally forced to throw a wedding, which maybe they are, but they're spending all this money and they're like, well, okay, like we don't want to do like a regular wedding. Like we don't want to have a cake. We want to have cookies.
Yeah,
and we don't want to have like I don't want to wear a dress. I'm gonna wear like a duck outfit,
right?
With my duck cake.
Yeah,
and like they try to change every aspect that's wedding. They're like, I'm not gonna walk down the aisle. We're all going to like. Crawl down the aisle.
Right. So you're having a party.
Yes.
A weird party.
It's just like,
but that's the thing. That's what a wedding is. It's a weird party, like where people, you know, sit and watch you and you like talk about how much you love each other in front of people.
Were vows awkward for you?
No. I mean, I am a performer, so I do sort of love a crowd. But Chase is a very private person.
Yeah.
And so we wrote letters to each other that really had like our kind of, you know, spill our guts
that were gay.
Vibes that were so super gay.
Yeah. And, just like the rest of the wedding.
I was crying. I cried on my wedding. Like, tears of joy, obviously. Yeah. But I'm a very emotional person. And so if we watch our wedding video back, literally the whole time, I'm like, like fully crying to the point of like mascara running down my face.
Yes.
Crying at every single aspect of the whole thing.
So
I'm a big like sappy. I'm a very like romantic person, whatever. But we like wrote letters to each other and then we wrote vows together and we said the same thing to each other.
Yeah. That's sweet.
Yeah,
that's
we
sweet.
Kind of, yeah. Our wedding,
that's why we're not having, we're literally like, we can't have a wedding because we're not doing vows in front of people.
It is a very strange, I mean, I do like the way we did it because it was business kind of. You know, it felt very like, I'm promising this to you. And you're promising the same to me. And it was very like, these are the things that we are promising to each other.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, you know, I promise when I'm acting silly, you can call me a silly goose. You know, like none of those kinds of like, you know, very like we don't. Leaving the wedding going, I wish I knew less about these people.
Yes, yes, yes.
I've seen so many clips of vows where the man's like, and I vow to put the lid down or leave the house if I have to shit. And I'm like,
but Jesus
Christ. I've seen like five of those. I'm like, you're at a, your wedding.
Yeah.
Like, that's have some stuff. Tact and class, sir.
No. You know, when people start to try to get funny in their vows, I'm like, this isn't a comedy show. These are your vows. This is a solemn and serious vow. Not that a wedding can't be fun.
No, I agree with you though.
I don't know. I just really.
I'll tell you, one of the best weddings I've ever been to was for my best friend Colin, his older sister. No. My best friend Colin's twin sister, who is a minister.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, this wedding, I think it maybe was the first wedding I ever went to or the second wedding I ever went to.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is going to be too like traditional for me or whatever. Mm-hmm. But when I went to that wedding, it was awesome because they got up, someone read a Bible verse.
Mm.
Him and his brother got up and played the guitar for them and sang like a Tegan and Sarah song or something.
Gay.
Yeah. Gay. That was gay. They are gay. And it was nice. It was nice religious. Yeah. It wasn't scary religious. It was nice. But it was like so light. It was quick. They had their childhood pastor marry them.
Yeah.
One person read a Bible verse. One person sang a song.
Yeah.
In, out, done.
That was
we all
like
had
ours.
Dinner. We did some dancing, which was nice. Whereas like the more non-traditional weddings I've been to, it does feel like they're trying to be like, it's not a wedding. It's a party. And I'm like, well, it's not a party because your Nana's here.
Right.
And
you made us all sit and watch you do
perform
a ceremony.
For us. And I've paid $2,000 to be here, which I wouldn't for any party.
Sure.
So it feels strange. And also I think vows feel weird to me personally because it feels like being like, and I vow, Kendall's sister, check this out.
Yeah. Right.
I vow, you know, where I'm
right.
like, what?
I know. It's like you don't really need to, this is the thing. Your wedding is your wedding. Mm-hmm. And like any friends of mine that are planning weddings right now or that have recently gotten married that are like, and I feel this and this, and I feel like I need to do help this person, like this person wants to do this and make this decision, whatever. I'm like, at the end of the day, like it's your thing. So like make it whatever you want it to be. That being said, I really do think that if you are asking people to fly to, you know, even if it's not a destination wedding, like, then think about, like, the user experience.
Yeah.
Think about how your guests are going to be.
Yeah.
Because, like, as much as they love you and they want to be at your wedding, it's like they you want them to have a good time.
Yeah.
And you want it to be nice. So there have been weddings that I've been to that I'm literally like, they did not think for a millisecond about what anybody attending this wedding will be experiencing at all. They just were fully like full steam ahead. This is what I want.
So you're like sitting in the sun for like 45 minutes.
Yeah, on
like
a hay bale or something.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay. And then you're like, oh, the venue is 2 hours away. Yeah. How are we getting there? They're like, we figured you guys would figure out a way to get there yourselves. You're like, okay. So, you know.
That's really, if I had had a wedding in 2016, not the hay bales, but in a similar vein, there would have been millions of mason jars.
You would have been a barn girl.
Oh, yeah.
I would have what?
You would have done barn like a wedding? Fancy barn.
I would have, like, I don't even know. There would have been mason. The ring would have been in a mason jar. Everything would have been in a mason. I thought mason jars were so
little
fancy.
Fairy lights in the mason
in
jars.
In the mason jars.
Nothing
we're drinking out of mason jars.
Nothing
and wearing
classier.
A mason jar. It would have been really bad.
I think that's beautiful.
Thank you.
And, you know, as long as I was having a good time, I don't care if there are mason jars there.
Yeah. There you go.
I really don't.
Which do you think... What do you think is more important, first impressions or long-term perception? I mean, what
obviously
kind of question is that? Come on,
perception.
Okay, I'm going to
know that. He was hot when I met him, but he was a murderer.
Yeah, listen, I love you,
but...
It
doesn't matter. Well,
that's
married,
a wild
so.
Question. All right, let me do another one.
Who has that?
I don't... A stranger? A fan? Thank you for watching.
We adore you.
A fan. I love you.
Yeah, but like... I hope you're not in a relationship with someone that you don't have a long-term
an incredible
good
first
perception
date,
of.
But they suck.
Right.
I do think there are people like that who have gotten married, especially like our parents' generation.
Yeah.
Where it's like the worst marriage you've ever seen. And they'll be like, well, we're going to tell it again. The time we met at a ski ball machine. And they tell it like it's like
this is why our relationship is good. Right. We had this first meeting that's so special.
And they
probably
had, like, gorgeous sex. And then they were like, okay, great, this is it forever. And they hate each other.
Yeah. Sad, really
and
sad.
Yeah, yeah, but there they are.
How do I make conversation and not come off as boring and awkward? P.S. Love the pod.
Oh.
Thanks.
Oh. I mean, if you're boring and awkward, it is hard to not be boring and awkward. Yeah. You know what I mean?
You can be boring and awkward and deserve love.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to sync up with someone. If you are constantly dating people that make you feel boring and awkward, you are not dating the right people.
Jordan, that's a great answer.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You have to sync up with people who make you feel like you are the most exciting person on the planet.
Yeah.
And I speak from experience because anything I do, Kendall goes, that's incredible. Anything
how nice.
I do. And it's awesome.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if it's big or small or silly or intense, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So you have to find someone that makes you feel like you are not boring and awkward.
Yeah. My question is, like, who's making you feel boring and awkward? Do you think you are boring and awkward?
Sure.
If so, let's work. Let's talk about that.
Go to therapy.
Like, right. Like, because no one is really just completely boring and awkward. Yeah, also, awkward to who?
Yes, I always am like, awkward, what is?
Right.
There's different types. Yeah. Like, you know, I've gone on a date before where they were like, I'm awkward. And I was like, it's fine. That's okay. I'm awkward too. Whatever.
Right.
But then you get there and they're like, I can't order for myself.
Okay.
You have to order for me.
Sure.
And then I'm like, oh, that's maybe like a different thing.
Yeah, and it's like shyness or whatever.
Right. But I'm like, awkward. I guess on a first date, I'm like, it's awkward.
Yeah.
Like,
you're our having dinner date with a stranger.
Yeah.
Right.
The awkward part of the charm.
Is. Yeah, right. And I'm also like, I'm such a, like, I'll go to a party and if someone is boring or awkward, you know, if someone is like not giving me much or something or being like uncomfortable, I'm like a breakthrough the ice person. I'm literally like, what's up? Who are you? How are you feeling right now? Like, and I honestly think that like people that maybe think, oh, I'm boring, I'm awkward, like just like, I don't know, just go for it.
You're
ask
not
questions.
Boring and awkward. You're self-conscious.
No, exactly.
And you need to go to therapy.
I don't think anybody's boring and awkward.
Because literally, I can't even think of, if I was like, what do you do for work? And they were like, oh, I'm a telemarketer, for example. I would have so many fucking questions.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Right.
I think some people would be like, okay. And then you can feel like, oh, that was embarrassing because they're a ski instructor. That's so cool. But I would be like, wait, okay, tell me everything about being a telemarketer.
Yeah. I think there's just, it depends on who you're with.
Yeah.
Like, find someone that makes you feel not boring.
Yeah, and I'll say I do think that there are people that are boring and or awkward. And I think that's totally okay. That's not a judgment call. I just think they're boring, so I shouldn't date them.
Right. This is the thing. One person, like, there are certain people that might have a very exciting life, but I find them boring. Yeah. Not
absolutely
boring, but I'm not really super interested in what they have to offer. And that's why we're not that's why I don't spend time with them.
And don't act like you're boring.
Right.
Don't
well,
be
this
like
is the thing.
Ugh, well, you know, I have a cat, but that's pretty much it. It's kind of like, that's you doing that to yourself.
That is, I do have to say, that is not fun when someone's like, I'm boring.
Yeah.
It's like, you're not the, like, that's literally, like, get over yourself.
That's
like, you're
you
not
putting
boring
up a wall.
Exactly.
So someone can't get to know
exactly
you.
Exactly. And I feel like, that's what I was going to say was, like, if you're not giving me anything, that's kind of your own choice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's, or it's trauma. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, it's being like, I'm boring. It's like, you're putting that label on yourself.
Yeah. 100%.
And I hope no one has called you boring before, because that's not nice. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if you're not given anything, then this is the thing. I will say, if you're a person that doesn't like to talk, like, and I get that, like, if you don't like engaging in conversation a ton, then my advice would be just to ask a bunch of questions.
Yes.
And let the other person talk.
Yes.
Smart.
And because maybe
but I don't
that'd
think
be a
that's
good pairing.
Boring.
No, I don't think it's a good pairing if someone can just talk.
Yeah,
there are people that I
talk
love to hang out with where they just talk and you have to ask questions.
Oh, and it's so nice. It's a break for your brain.
And you can just not. And at any point, you could walk away. I don't even think they would notice. And you can come back. They're still talking. And you're like, incredible. And they are saying interesting things.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, I don't really need they're happy doing this to anybody. I always think on a first date, too, because I know some people are like, oh, I'm so awkward. I'm so awkward on a first date. And I'm like, I feel like I used to be kind of awkward on first dates.
Mm-hmm.
Like, internally, I was just very nervous.
Yeah.
And I always went up front just be like, I'm so sorry. I'm so nervous.
Be honest.
I feel like it always makes it so, like, the atmosphere changes completely.
It's so charming.
You've stayed even vulnerable, but also in a way that feels confident because you're comfortable sharing your emotions.
Yeah.
They're usually like, me too. Or they're like, you have nothing to be nervous about.
Yeah.
I think you're really cute. And then
you're like,
less,
comfortable.
You know,
exactly. Perfect. Right. And I do that in auditions sometimes where I'll be like, sorry, I just need to take a breath. I'm kind of like, ooh, I'm a little bit like excited and nervous. And they're like, it's all good. Like, I feel like that's such a great way to break the ice, especially if you are nervous. Yes. Just be honest. But I think asking questions, even if you're not boring and awkward, ask questions on a date.
I agree.
Yes.
Okay, we have time for one more question.
Okay.
Let's see. Do I like this person or do I like the idea of being with them?
Do I like this person or do I like the idea of this person? God, a lot of these questions are very situational.
Sure.
Like, I really need to know more details about that.
How do you suss it out, though? In general, right?
Right. How do you suss it out? I mean, I would say, what are you, like, really think about, like, what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. Like, what are you really looking for? And, like, if you feel deep within your bones that this person isn't really gonna give you what you're looking for or what you need, then you kind of like, I think, the idea of them.
Yeah.
Like, the concept of, you know, like what we were saying before, like being swept off your feet or like, you know, the kind of storybook romance thing. I feel like that is very connected to the idea of like, oh, I love this sort of concept of this person. But if at the end of the day, like realistically, they don't have like what you need in a relationship, then, you know, that's how I think, you know.
Yeah.
You got to really just listen to your gut.
I think if you find yourself doing a lot of justifying of behavior, you probably just like the idea of them.
That's
I feel like
point.
If you're constantly having to be like, well, you know, he blah, 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 and he does this because da, 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 and he does that, but he also does this, whatever. Like if you're constantly having, like, I feel like I can just push Kendall out into the world every day from our house. Wow. And I'm just like,
and they do, and it, it feels rude.
But I'm just like, what Kendall does speaks for itself. And you can also view it as a reflection of me. And I'm fine with that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas like, I've been in relationships with people in the past where I'm like, yes. Is she embarrassing? Yes.
Sure.
Does she do things that make me feel embarrassed? 100%. Is she weird in a way that makes me feel bad? Yeah. Is she kind of rude to me? Sure. Do we fight a lot? 100%.
Okay.
Sometimes, you know what I mean? Like, if you find yourself doing that, I think you like the idea of the person more than the actual person.
I literally remember my first girlfriend ever. My friend was like, do you even like her as a person? And I was like, no, I don't like her as a person, but I love her. And it's like crazy. Yeah. It's like, what was I doing? But I think it is. I think when you're in a relationship that if you're not like, if you're in a relationship where you just like the person, not the idea of the person, I don't think you'll be thinking about whether or not you like just the idea of the person.
Yeah. Well, that's, I'm sure you guys have experienced this, like when you like really were like, oh, I think I'm in love with this person, is like you stop. You're not like, I think when you're first starting to date someone, there's almost this, you feel like you're looking at yourself from the outside.
Yes.
Like there's this, you're sort of analyzing what's going on. You're kind of looking at the person because they're technically like, you don't really know them very well yet.
Yeah.
But I think for me, the moment that it shifted where I was like, oh, I think I'm in love with this person, was when I was not thinking.
Yeah.
Like when you're literally just going off pure, like, I'm with this person right now. And I think if you're still not getting there, if you're still feeling like kind of looking on the out from the outside in on the relationship, then it is very much still the idea of being with this person.
The analysis of it all.
Like, I feel like that's the real shift. But I also, I've had friends that, you know, it's like you kind of also have to look at the situation surrounding, like, if it's one of those things where you're thinking about, like, maybe asking someone out or like starting a relationship with someone, and you're trying to suss out whether you actually like them or you like the idea of being with that person. It's like looking at what you want out of the relationship.
Yeah.
Like, do you want to be with that person because they're good friends with a lot of your friends, and so you want to like all be together and all be dating all the same people? Or is it because you actually want to be with that person specifically? Like, if all your friends fell away, would you still be really happy to be with that person? Or if all their friends fell away, would you still really be happy to be with that person? So it's kind of, I mean, it's situational.
But that makes sense though, but I think you can be like, if there's something you find yourself being really drawn to about that person, like one specific thing, you know, would you still like them if they weren't rich?
Yeah,
would you still like them if your parents didn't like them so much?
Yeah.
Would you still like them if they lived far away? Whatever, like whatever those things are, you can also think about some of those.
Totally. Right. Strip it down to like the core thing. And if you still like at the very core of that person, do you really care about them?
Yeah.
Then
That's not the idea.
Wow, I love that. And wow, to just kind of send us out of this episode,
yeah,
do an impression of Chase.
This is exciting because I've never met him, so this will be him to me.
Okay, my impression of Chase is
he's asleep.
He'll be, yeah. he does snore, sorry. No, he'll, oh God, he's going to be so embarrassed.
He's not going to listen to this podcast.
Yes, he will, Jordan. He supports everything I do. He's my biggest fan.
Oh my God.
Hi, Chase.
Yeah, no, he'll be like, I love you, but the way you loaded the dishwasher is crazy.
I say that exact
sentence. Oh my God, Kendall says that to me every day.
Really?
Yeah. Can I ask you, do you do things not facing the middle?
No, we're not getting into this.
Facing the middle?
No, I know. She's...
All plates should face the middle.
This is the thing. There's always someone in a relationship that is like, I'm just trying to do the dishes and get through the day. I'm just trying to get shit in the dishwasher, put the pot in and close it up and have things get washed.
What happens in there?
What happens
in,
I'm
if
not
it gets washed,
I can't be held responsible. Yeah. But I just kind of, it's not like I think Chase really believes that I just throw it in there willy-nilly, that I literally am just like, you know, tossing shit over my shoulder into the dishwasher. I am doing what I think is right. Well, however,
fortunately with the dishwasher,
there is a right way to do it. That's what I'm learning.
This is a hell of my own making.
Yeah. No, yeah. So that's kind of the most commonly, one of the more commonly said things in our household.
Wow. Thank you so much for doing an impression of him. That was beautiful. Yeah. Welcome. Wow. All right, Mary, where can people find you?
You can find me at Merkel, MARE_KELL on all of the platforms.
You gotta go watch. Wow. You're so talented.
So talented.
It's like a joy. I literally, anytime you post a video, I watch the full thing because I'm like infatuated.
That's so
I'm
nice. Obsessed.
We're so happy to have you on the podcast. So you're so great.
Thank you.
Everybody's
gotta
go check out Mary and check out us on Spotify. We film in the Spotify offices as always. We love them. But you can also find us on Apple Podcasts and anywhere else you find your podcasts, as well as on YouTube. Please like, comment, subscribe on all platforms, and join our Patreon.
Is this the good professional talk you're talking about?
This is so fun to me.
Oh.
Good job.
Kendall, anything you want to say before
I'm just up? Having a good time. I just appreciate you coming so much. This is such a treat. And you had such good advice. Oh. All right. Well, thank you so much for being
here. You're doing it. We love you.
Love you guys.
Love you.